Welcome to Season 4 of E-Commerce Fastlane. This podcast helps resilient entrepreneurs thrive with Shopify. And now, on to episode 221.
You're listening to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, manage, grow, and scale a successful and thriving company. Powered by Shopify. Listen to real conversations with partners and subject matter experts as they share proven practical strategies, platforms, and the best Shopify apps to help you accelerate your business. The time is now for you to improve efficiencies, grow revenue, profit, and lifetime customer loyalty. Please welcome your host, startup founder, and strategic advisor, Steve Hutt.
You know something? Accidents can happen to your Shopify store. Maybe you installed an app and it messed up your theme, or a store collaborator deleted product images by mistake. The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong. The truth is, they don't. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. The Rewind app should be the first thing you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or even collaborators gone bad. It's honestly like having your very own magic undo button. And it's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, from side hustles to the biggest online retailers like Gatorade and Movement Watches. It's even a Shopify Plus certified app partner, which means it has the reliability, security, and privacy you need to protect your brand. Install the Rewind app today and respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Enjoy peace of mind with Rewind Backups. Find it in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.com. Well, hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. New episodes are available twice weekly with your favorite podcast player like Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, and many more. I also have a very relevant back catalog of podcast episodes that you can stream directly from ecommercefastlane.com. So go check that out. In today's episode, my guest is Mike Schmidt, who is the co-founder of a company called Dovetail, D-O-V-E-T-A-L-E, Dovetail. And they're an influencer marketing solution for Shopify merchants. It's very unique because what they do is they help brands to recruit influencers and creators. They track all the sales either through affiliate codes or links. And it also helps you to send gifts and to automate a lot of the payments back to these creators. So it's very worthwhile and very notable how they're able to put a lot of these pieces together into one solution. And I truly believe it's an excellent and very timely conversation, because there's a lot of learnings that need to be taught right now about the benefits and the tactics about how to successfully implement an influencer campaign, because lots have failed and a lot of people are worried about how to find the most genuine people to work with your brand and how promote your brand instead of some of the disingenuous kind of conversations that are happening of pay to play only. So you will learn a lot about Mike's angle and how he is positioning himself into the market. So hi, Mike, welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Thanks for having me. It's awesome to be here. I feel like you could do a great introduction. I'll hire you for all my videos. It's an awesome introduction.
Hey, you know what? A voiceover could be in the future for sure. I'm fortunate, maybe biology a bit, a nice mic, and then having an audio processor certainly helps a little bit. But I mentioned a tiny bit at the top of the show, things that I've learned off the website. We've chit-chatted a little bit offline a bit about, and I have a few brands that actually are using your solution. So I was able to kind of snoop around to see exactly how they're creating community and how they're recruiting people. It's quite interesting. So I just would love to hear it in your own words about specifically what the Dovetail platform is doing for brands and the type of problem that it's solving for Shopify store owners.
Yeah, I think not enough focus is around the problem, especially in the influencer ecosystem. And when you kind of just like break apart the influencer marketing problem as a kind of like a first principles approach, I think one of the things you'll start to realize is that everyone's just trying to grab attention. Like all of the Shopify customers are just trying to grab more attention of potential consumers for their product, right? So if you think about like the fundamental underlying business model of the internet, you just think about like attention as the business model, right? So the only reason I mention this is because I haven't really heard a lot of people talk about the problem the way that, you know, our team talks about the problem. And Everyone else kind of just like injects influencer marketing. They tell you about the solution. They're like, oh, this is what it does. This is how we do it. This is how we're different. And you, along with everyone else, probably in the Shopify ecosystem, has heard of like the 10 to 20 companies that are always kind of, you know, fighting for the influencer platform approach, if that makes sense. So I think like just like kind of breaking it down and just like understanding the problem is just a really great place to start. And I really like this question, because when you think about the attention models on Facebook or Instagram, you're paying Facebook or Instagram for the attention that they've captured, right? They've done an incredible job of just like getting people addicted to the platform. And I think like, you know, it's an awesome business model. It's obviously proven to be great for shareholders in those companies, TikTok the same. And it makes sense for like Shopify to continue to partner with all the amazing work that those places are doing. But when you think about just like the influencer marketing problem, it's like it kind of comes into fold when you start to think about customer acquisition, because you're also thinking about attention. So break it down into like two different types of merchants. I know this is a grand assumption across the Shopify merchant category, but like think about day one customers on Shopify, right? They have no customers. They have probably a support network, family, friends that are going to buy their products for the first time. And then you have like kind of an uphill battle to get your, you know, first real customer, a customer that you don't know. And I think Shopify has like this great mindset around like getting your first sale. There's like really cute little things that happen, from sounds to different things and animations in the platform. You guys have crushed it. You guys have done an amazing job of it, first off. And then the second thing is like our customers, they talk to us and they're like, influencer marketing is a really clever way to sort of get around the expensive CPMs on Facebook and Instagram, right? Because it's very expensive to go to Instagram to buy an ad these days, and you have to have the expertise to tell that story through an image or a video or a story or whatever the format is. So influencer marketing kind of encapsulates this two-element approach when acquiring customers. Number one, influencers are great at telling stories. And number two is they have a collective audience that sits behind them that trusts things that they say. So I think like if you take like that day one customer, coming back to the start of this, you think about like how if you can take a Shopify store, say for example, a new merchant that's really excited about selling something online, and you can pair them with the right creators, the right influencers, the right people to tell their story, it becomes a really special thing that you can do for a day one merchant. Now, the same argument can be applied to a merchant that's been selling for 2 years and maybe has a couple $1 million in revenue. They're always looking to grow their customer base, and they're looking to kind of tell that story in a slightly different way. So I think that's what's happening across the influencer problem set. But I haven't really heard a lot of people talk about the problem from like a first principles approach and saying like, what are the things that we can do to improve customer acquisition for a Shopify merchant? So that's kind of like our focus right now, is like very much on e-commerce and specifically on Shopify. You can only really use our product on Shopify. So we're really excited about the stuff that you guys have built. And then also I can't commend the Shopify people enough for like their support and their helpfulness and just always responding to emails, jumping on the phone with us and all that kind of stuff. So just kind of wanted to put that out there, but that's kind of how we think about just like the problem statement and the flows for different types of customers. Obviously can get pretty granular, but day one, kind of day 90 customer on Shopify.
Yeah, I love it. I'm glad you're having some good experience with the partner ecosystem, because that's the main crux of this show, is just interviewing app and agency partners and a few thought leaders, but they're still part of the whole Shopify ecosystems. And I say it a lot on this show, is that, you know, Shopify does 80% of commerce really well with their platform. And it's probably hundreds, if not thousands, of projects are in the queue right now that are enhancing the platform as the core platform. But then it's always that partner ecosystem is what's really differentiating the platforms, and just the friendliness of the partners wanting to work together and try to figure out a way, especially in non-competing verticals, of how each partner can work together. And there's a lot of sharing. And I'm glad that's the kind of experience that you're feeling, because I think that's exactly what the experience of the platform team and the partners team wants to have with the 6,000 or 7,000 partners that are connected to Shopify. So I think it's exciting. I will add one other thing to the show notes too, because there's different, you know, maturities and people listening today, you know, they could have a store and are dying to get their first sale. There's a lot of resources available for sure. So depending on your maturity and where you're at in your entrepreneurial journey, I'll put a link to how to get your first sale and some of the, and a really great checklist that's available just for some things to think about. And it's interesting that the influencer side, the creator side, and have building authentic relationships is part of that strategy that you need to really think about. It's so close to being free to acquiring a new customer.
just coming back to your early point, I never thought about Canadian as a feature. Like I was also born in Canada, and now I live in New York, of course, but like I never realized how amazing it is to deal with like a big company that feels like a small company. It is such a powerful thing that I think like you guys have done like basically our playbook for us. Merchant first, customer centric, business model, like all this kind of stuff. We just like read your stuff and we're like, okay, makes sense for our business as well. So we take a lot of the cultural pieces, try to be nice and try to be helpful. And that's like pretty much our sales process too. It's like, we're not like aggressive in sales. We're like, hey, a company comes to us and they want to learn about our solution. Can we help them? Can we not help them? Are we leading them around the wrong path? And I think there's a lot of power in just like, let's call it Canadian as a feature or Canadian as a product. I don't know. But there's a lot of power in just like being nice and helpful, I think, in that ecosystem. And again, you guys have done a great job of just building out partner ecosystems, because you guys have obviously made it very easy to build a store online, but there still are complexities to marketing, to like infrastructure, to like all the things that have been done. And there's like, I mean, I can only imagine where your roadmap is going, but like you're probably like not even 10% along the journey at Shopify, and you still feel like there's so much you can do for merchants. And I definitely see it after building in the Shopify ecosystem for the last couple of years.
So let's dig into your journey a bit. I think it's always interesting why people build what they build. And I'd love to hear that story about, you know, what you believe uniquely positions you. I mean, I hear some of the feature sets. I understand the mindset around what you're building, but I would love to understand more from you. And I understand there's a co-founder also. And, you know, I'd always frame it this way. It's like, why the desire and how did you get the expertise to want to create this platform?
So it's kind of started off in 2013. So I was bit by the startup bug in 2012, 2011, when I was part of a Canadian program in Toronto called the Next 36. So I always thought I was going to be kind of like in finance or do like an engineering type role. Went to school for engineering at Queen's. And then I was part of this program. My whole world kind of was upside down. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I kind of explain entrepreneurship as like this parasite where I just can't get an idea out of my head. And it's just like the only way to cure it is to just go and do the thing that you just keep obsessing over. Because I have an obsessive complex. I just constantly think about the problems. I love thinking about problems. And then when I graduated from that program at U of T, I had just incredible mentors and people that were around me at that time that supported me and were access to things like capital and expertise and connections to people. And after that, I went back to school for 1 year. So it was kind of in between my undergrad and then I did that program at U of T. I went back to school and I was like thinking about all the problems that I could solve based on my last failure, because I had built a small company before that. And I was like, oh, how can I improve? Like, what could I do better? And it kind of just came down to team. So team was the thing that we sort of just didn't get right in the first iteration. All the people I worked with in the past were great. It's just like the pieces of the puzzle didn't fit. It doesn't always work out the way you want it to. And in 2013, I started a company called Listen. And Listen was backed by someone in not your backyard, but in probably a lot of the Shopify folks in Toronto and Montreal. Real Ventures backed us. And they were really excited about us building kind of like Instagram for music. So in the same way that Instagram could allow you to build kind of like social following around pictures and videos that you loved, we were doing the same thing around music. And the way we got to like 500,000 users, we got acquired, we went through the whole kind of like startup journey, is we got big because of influencer marketing. So we were one of the first companies to do like mobile installs and mobile acquisition through influencers on Vine. You know, we paid Shawn Mendes like $50 to do a promotion when he was doing little musical sessions with high school groups and just like at small auditoriums and stuff. So he wasn't even big. He had like 4,000 followers on Vine at the time. And, you know, we were just happy to support him. And we had built this like really robust data system on the back end where we were just like scanning for new profiles all the time. And we were like, this is something that we could productize. So short story long is like in 2014, 2015, sold the company to a holdings company in New York, which brought me from LA and Montreal to kind of split my time between those two areas to New York. And I was kind of just fresh off an acquisition. So I was like more comfortable than I've ever been. I've just like was excited about the new journey and like building out new products. Very quickly felt like a holdings company didn't allow me to build the products that I wanted to. Didn't empower me to do any of that. Founders of the company were really burnt out from that whole process and really excited about building something new. So like kind of the anti-burnout was like, I was burnt out from corporate America, not from startup. So we spent some time getting close to like Twitch and different companies that we wanted to kind of like align with in the future. So I launched like Twitch Music with the team at Beatport. When Silicon Valley was coming out, there's like some fun video clips of us like working with the teams, like the HBO series Silicon Valley. We were working with the producers, kind of giving them insights on how we started a company. So there's like kind of some fun anecdotes that were pulled from that show. On my Instagram feed, there's like a Mike Judge and some of the cast talking about meeting Canadians and like how we all did our laundry this in the same room and stuff. So it's like hilarious. You can link that to the bottom if you want. I think it's one of the funniest things. And then in 2016, we started Dovetail after leaving corporate America. I was like 26, I guess. And I felt like I had gone through like an MBA process, how to take company public, how to like sell company, how to raise money. And I was like, I'm ready to do this again. Really excited. And then sort of that's the journey up until Dovetail. And realizing now that I haven't told you anything about what Dovetail does, I could probably get into that, but I'll kind of pause there.
No, that's great. No, thank you for sharing that. I think it just adds a little bit of context because, you know, I understand the problem you're solving for the most part. And then it's nice to understand the history because you know what it does? It's for those listening today, they really like to invest in the people that are part of the technology, right? And it's easy to sniff out if a brand or a founder are getting involved in SaaS because there's a recurring revenue, MRR, we call it. And yes, you have to earn a living. That's fair enough. But you want to make sure, like Shopify, you want to skew the value more towards the end consumer than, I mean, look at Shopify, $29 a month, even $2.99 on the highest plan, on the regular core plans. I mean, it's dirt cheap for the opportunity. And there's brands doing $5 to $10 million a year on a $2.99 plan. So the value always needs to be pushed. And that's what I get from you is that I understand the problem and I understand of kind of what you're trying to do now and just your journey leading up to it. And now here we are with all of this strength now, this knowledge and experience now, and you're like, hey, corporate America is out as far as I'm concerned. However, I believe that I can take the knowledge that I've learned and now I can start applying it towards solving some real world problems with, you know, the 1.5 million or 2 million entrepreneurs that are on Shopify. It's pretty wild that the opportunity is there and your platform is there to help.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how we think about it too. We don't want a nickel and dime merchants. Like if you ask me what keeps me up at night, it's like the customer I talk to on the phone in the morning that's like having a tough time with this or has been ripped off by another platform. Like I deeply care, and I think everyone on this team deeply cares about, and I think that's the same for Shopify too, is like probably everyone cares about every merchant that's on the platform, no matter if they're day one or they're just thinking of an idea or they're selling $10 million of product per year. Like it doesn't matter to me. It's just like the commoditization of software, but also the humanization of software is happening right now. And I think there's a lot of trust that happens within the Shopify community. And I can only aspire to like be hopefully a fraction of that in with our company. So
let's pivot a bit into, I guess, the product itself, because like I am beginning to understand a lot more about, based on talking to you now and some of the research I've done, a couple brands that I have that are using your tool. I understand how you're positioning it. It appears to be quite a useful tool for marketers. What do you think are some of the top kind of Shopify use cases that a merchant can solve today with Dovetail?
I think it's just like a combination of things. When I jump on the phone with people, or if our support team jumps on the phone with people, new customers or existing customers, we solve kind of like a couple of categories of problem. Number one is like, there's so much media out there that says you need to do influencer marketing. Everything from Forbes to entrepreneur.com to like just individual blog posts from companies. And they say, you need to prioritize this. There's a lot of merchants that come to us. They're like, I don't really know what to do. I'm confused. There's a lot of stuff out there. And we're trying to normalize that. That's like one of the first things we're trying to do is like, take a step back. Let's try to unlearn everything that you've learned. And let's like start with, you know, the basics, and let's get you there. Because I think that the influencer marketing world has somewhat of a tarnished viewpoint where it's like, I get kind of the basic mechanics of this thing. I, you know, reach out to someone, I engage with them, I get them to promote my products, and then their audience will come and buy my stuff. Now, I think just like what we do is a lot different than everything else that's out there, like the things that I've seen, or at least like the founders that I've heard talk about their products. And I'm not saying they're wrong or anything else like that. I just think we're different. So influencer marketing kind of needs like a little bit of a facelift, because like when companies come to us, they're like, we want to do this. We want to acquire customers. We want to reduce our customer acquisition costs. Doesn't everybody, but I don't know where to start. And I think we check that box, but also we guide them through the best practices with a great product. So I read this great article that kind of stuck with me a couple months ago. the best SaaS tools are taking like the founder's knowledge over many years, or like the team's knowledge over many years, and dumping it into a couple lines of code. Like, think of Stripe. Stripe is just an incredible tool where you can, you know, get things up and started, and it can be your back office for payments. Shopify, same thing with e-commerce infrastructure. And I think there's something really special about what we're doing with Community. So Community is a tool that kind of all encompasses all of these concepts, because I think the nomenclature problem is one in which kind of is all encompassing. And I'll explain what I mean by this. So Dovetail helps people grow their constituent audiences of individuals that love their products. And it doesn't necessarily have to be an influencer. It can just be someone that loves buying your product. That could be your influencer. Because I think when people think influencer, they're like, has to have over 5,000 followers on Instagram. And I just don't think that's true. I think that there are influencers out there that have like 10 followers and they're driving considerable sales. Take this company, Therese, that we work with, that we just released a case study on. Their most active affiliates in their community have like 1,000 followers. They're selling lots of product. Like, they're going around, they're like hustling, they're building an income. Like, there's a whole layer of entrepreneurship that lives below what e-commerce is doing, which is like team buying and group buying and those types of things that are happening in China that are really, really exciting for our business. But I think there's like a lot of meaning to this word community, because community encompasses influencer marketing. It encompasses affiliate marketing, insiders, super fans, beta testers, like all of these concepts that marketing teams really struggle with are going to be like the, we're going to be like the back office for all of that kind of stuff. So I think there's something really special that's happening in that ecosystem that we're solving for. And I'm happy to go into like the specific features, but I think just as a concept, we really need to humanize what's happening when it comes to like quote unquote affiliate marketing or gifting campaigns or seeding campaigns. I think there's a lot of stuff we can do to improve that.
Yeah, I believe there's a lot of piecemeal going on out in the marketplace. And, you know, once again, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with some larger influencer platforms that are out there to manage these people. There's a large cost that goes along with that. So usually the human capital and the platform requires a lot of human capital to manage it, and the price. To me, I can see it being a challenge, becoming a Swiss Army knife of all things to do with like influencer marketing or community building. And, you know, as you call it, you said, you know, grab more attention. I mean, that's really what everyone's trying to do. I also believe that you're kind of distilling it down into some of its more basic parts. And really, it just comes down to community. And I think that's the feeling that I'm getting. And when I look at a few other brands, I mean, there's one brand I look at quite a bit, Kettle and Fire, I think is one of your brands that you manage. And like, they're like a phenomenal direct-to-consumer brand, you know, that sells like these different kind of bone broths and all these different types of like options. Really incredible company, really, really well executed. And when I see how they're building their influencer campaign through your tool, it's, I'm going to make sure I have a link in the show notes, because I have to show this. There's a few others. I know you have some case studies that I'm going to link to, but it's pretty impressive about what people are doing with your platform. And they become raving fans for Dovetail because of the incremental lift that your platform is doing for them, right? They're paying you a small amount of money, but in exchange, they're finding these raving fans. They have a great landing page to introduce the opportunity. And then from there, the platform kind of takes over and allows you to manage them and seed them and pay them and link to all the parts that are important. But you also have the education component too that goes along with your tool.
Yeah. And also like the Kettle and Fire team specifically, like every time we jump on the phone with those team members, it's always like, those guys are amazing. And I think like, just for listeners that are kind of trying to become like these staple Shopify examples or like trying to grow their brand, one huge piece of advice I have for just like any merchant that's on Shopify is, coming back to one of the first points, is like, just like present the problems nicely. Because I think like Nick on their team is an incredible marketer. He's super smart, don't get me wrong, but like his superpower is like, here's the problem we have with Dovetail today. Can you guys like please go fix this? And he presents it in like a friendly way. There's a lot of power in that, because like, I'm going to stay up extra long to like do that thing for you because I want to like make sure things are right. But if someone messages me and I'm like in a kind of an aggressive tone or something like that, which as a SaaS founder, I've gotten plenty of those, and probably you guys have as well, but it's just like sort of killing them with kindness. And then also just, if you are kind with feedback, that's like the number one way of getting things done. So, you know, shout out to Nick and the team, the Kettle and Fire team, because they're awesome at doing this. And I think, you know, the Brevity team is awesome at doing this. The Necessaire team is awesome. Moxie Lash, Live Pure, Italic, Nord Green, Solgard, like these companies are great. And the reason why they're great at what they do is because like we obviously want to help every single brand we work with, but like we want to help them extra. Like we really want to help them a lot more. So it's great to see. And if you want to be like a great marketer too, engage with your SaaS partners and like be nice to them because like they're here to help you and they're also dependent on you as well. So yeah.
So what's interesting about your space that I've noticed, because I understand what you do and, you know, I've recommended other solutions along the way, or I do a lot of app audits and even their private apps. And I'd see different solutions that people have chosen over the years. And I kind of wonder why they're, you know, or if they're getting value out of certain tools and things. So it seems that there's this pretty large bucket of influencer marketing tech that's certainly available today. Like you said, 10, 20 solutions are probably, I'd say quite a bit more, but 20 well-known ones that are available in the Shopify sphere. And I'm slowly starting to figure it out here now, but like how specifically is Dovetail differentiating itself from others in this, and I got these air quotes now, of influencer marketing technology?
Let's just like kind of break down like the landscape of influencer tools right now. So I think there's like the really expensive tools that claim to do all this stuff, but when you reach out to their teams and get the case studies, or if you ask them for case studies, they never show you how much generated sales you have. We're making like a huge effort just to show you plug in Dovetail, this is how much sales you're going to get if you listen to us. If you do like the things that we are trying to educate, here's how the results look. Like the best thing that I think any enterprise solution can do is just show results, like show that you're actually making a difference. And I think the problem with a lot of the influencer solutions out there right now is like, they're not showing proof. They're not showing that this thing can actually turn into something. Like I'm so excited to I can't wait to release some of the case studies we're doing right now where merchants are just killing it and they're paying like $100 to Dovetail per month. I'm like, that is amazing. Like exactly what you said about Shopify. Like I am looking so forward to like sharing some of the case studies that we have. And it's super fun because I can distill down like the basic components of what we're doing with Dovetail. But in response to your question around how are we different? I think like we're just like fundamentally different than the existing solutions. Cause like if I could make Dovetail free, I would make Dovetail free. We have to make money. We have to pay the bills. So like that's kind of how we have to do things. But there's no way that I want to charge like a small merchant $2,000 per month to use Dovetail. So I think just like systematically, we're thinking about the problem as like a scale thing, not a small like integration for some companies or like a bounty on software. So I think for us, when we think about just like the influencer marketing space and like overarching community space, influencer marketing is going to be a very small piece of what we do in the future. It seems very big right now, but influencer marketing is kind of like where we start. Where we're going is much more profound. I think especially with content marketing, especially with like native e-commerce functions that we can build into members and the relationship they have with different brands. There are so many cool product things that we're going to bring into Dovetail that I'm like, I really wish I could share them with you guys on this podcast, but I want to just be cognizant of like what we're doing and like how I don't want to like let it out of the bag quite yet, but social and commerce has never been more exciting. I think what we're seeing in China is the start of a huge wave, and it's only going to get more sophisticated here in the US, especially with like Shopify being at the core. And I think just in general, it's like people may think that we're an affiliate solution. And that's a part of what we do, but it's not entirely. That's just like one framework to think about when you think about community, member-to-member interactions and functions, and like how those brands can collaborate and build more humanization to the whole influencer space, which I think is just like completely gone after the couple of years that I've just been involved in this space. I've seen it go up and down, but we want to really like humanize it and make it more friendly and like bring back the purity of like content creation and drive it back to sales. I think that's like one of the big things that I've got on my docket for this year, and I can't even wait to show people what we're doing.
And any updates, let me know, because we'll update your show notes. So depending on when you're listening to today's recording, there may be extra things that have happened since this recording, and we'll make sure that the show notes are updated with those extra links of new features, new case studies, things like that. So let's maybe pivot a bit over to, I'm going to call it a 30,000 foot view of just of like the landscape in general of influencer marketing. So I understand that there's lots of major players out there, but you're fundamentally different and you're trying to be and are significantly more helpful to brands. And we talk about the exchange of money, very, very small amount of money, but for a much larger upside based on community and engagement and just how you're interacting. It's just, it's so interesting. It's very unique way you're positioning it. And it's hard sometimes in a podcast to show that. But like I said, you're listening to everybody listening today, hit the show notes. There'll be lots of links to the case studies and links to partners that are successfully executing with your solution. And you can see why they're doing so well. But let's just talk about anything notable that you can maybe share with the listeners today around this whole landscape.
I focus a lot of my time on customer, but when I don't, I focus on like kind of like industry where it's going and kind of like predicting the future, reading the tea leaves. So I'd say like there's kind of like four things I'm thinking about, or like I think where the first one is like boutique agencies and consultants will continue to grow in the space. So think about like early days for Shopify. Like one of the most successful things I think you guys have done is the partner programs and like the agency partners and like those types of people that support your ecosystem. Same thing's going to happen with influencer marketing, and it already has happened, but it's just going to become more standardized. And like we want to be that platform that powers 90% of those kind of solutions. So think of like a partner that's a development partner to Shopify. Think about it as a consultant to people running communities on Shopify. They're the same effect is going to happen. I think we're a little early before that happens, but boutique agencies will thrive because of that. Consultants will thrive because of that. Distribution of entrepreneurship will continue to happen. So I think that's kind of like the first trend, and hopefully we can enable a lot more of that. The second one is like, I think there's a lot of quote unquote tech companies in the space that will just become agencies, like tech enabled agencies, people that have kind of like overfunded cap tables, investors that have sort of like overcapitalized and gotten in on Series A, Series B rounds of companies that are similar to Dovetail. And I think that they'll just look for either liquidity, or they'll kind of force those companies to become agencies just by nature of cash flow and how much there is on the services side. I think there's also kind of like a growing effort, kind of like third prediction or third trend is like the overpriced tools will be forced to kind of like bring their prices down, but they'll also be forced to show results. So I think that's going to be particularly painful for a lot of them, because like a lot of them have just worked with big brands. Like, you know, if you're working with like L'Oreal, P&G, or anyone that's like not a Shopify native brand, sometimes like results, like direct revenue is not the main focus, but for a Shopify store, number one focus. So there's like interesting dynamics that's going to happen there. And then I think the fourth one is like the one that I'm particularly excited about, which is just like the name, the industry. Like I think that there's an exodus of influencer marketing and an incoming of community. And I think community is like the thing we want to own. And I think we're definitely well positioned to get there. I'm kind of just like dogfooding my own prediction here, but that's kind of like the four categories of things that I'm seeing. And I think like, you know, we're probably 12 to 18 months away from those trends.
From your vantage point, what does an ideal community look like for a Shopify brand? Because you've talked about a few different things, but it'd be nice if you could kind of distill it down in exactly what you're thinking about today as far as, you know, just in concepts, but then, and then as it relates maybe to the product.
Cool. So I think I want to kind of break this up into two parts. One is on the product side, and then one is more on like a conceptual side. So on the product side, when you get into Dovetail as a Shopify merchant, you have kind of like a wizard experience, like an experience to set up what we call like a landing page or a community recruitment page. And this is kind of like the first function that people can do when they authenticate their Shopify store. So you come in, you authenticate your Shopify store, and you can build a beautiful recruitment page. So in contrast to like other affiliate programs out there, the pages that people put into their footers, and you've probably seen this before, is like join our ambassador program in the footer, join our affiliate program in the footer, or become a partner in the footer. I want to change this like entirely. So I want to change like the aesthetic of this, the whole piece around this, and the team collectively wants to change it as well. Like we constantly think about how we're going to market. And then we think about like what the first experience looks like. And today people use like search engines to find influencers, and they use Instagram to find them and search for them and stuff. But what happens to all the people that want to come to you? And I think like companies like Curology have done this extraordinarily well. Like if you go to Curology.com, they have community right at the top. And we encourage everyone to put community right at the top. So what a successful community looks like, first step, build a community recruitment page, link it right in the top, and make community a part of your brand strategy, because it's all encompassing. So that's kind of like the first step. And then as people start to apply to work with you, you can do recruiting. Anytime someone DMs you on Instagram, you can send them this recruitment page, and then people will start to apply to work with you. You can kind of like accept them almost like in a dating app style, but for influencers that are excited about working with you. You'll see this from our homepage, is like there's a little check or an X being like, this is someone I want to work with, this is someone I don't want to work with. When you accept someone, you have the option to give them a gift from your store that syncs up with your Shopify backend, the SKUs that all sync up through the Shopify connection, and an affiliate offer, a link or a code kind of thing. So those are kind of like the main components. And then as those people that are a part of your brand community, they start generating revenue from the codes or the links that they're creating content around, or just pitching their friends and family about the brand that they're working with, they can earn a commission. So it's very similar to an affiliate program there, but there's like that gifting element that's built directly in. And that gifting element is huge because people today use like spreadsheets and manual entry on Shopify to basically send influencers gifts. So we've productized that whole bit, and people don't need to share their addresses. All that stuff can stay confidential. They don't have to share their like shoe sizes if they're getting a, you know, a shoe from Metallic or any of those other things. It's just a much more friendly experience where we've just interfaced it super, super well with Shopify. So like product wise, that's kind of like what a great community looks like. And then I think like a power tool on top of that is just using Klaviyo and Dovetail in combination to find the right people, and then reaching out to people en masse from a recruitment standpoint. So I've seen brands do a really good job of like messaging like 100 people per week that kind of fit the sweet spot and saying like, hey, we encourage you to apply to community. This is where we keep our application portal. They put the Dovetail link in there. And then basically you can kind of go on and just start actively recruiting, because that's what's going to help. So that's kind of like on the product side. That's like how people interface with the platform. Now, on the more conceptual side, lots of people have kind of just like jumped on the phone with our team and just like over email, because this is something new. And we've done a lot of like kind of strategic thinking about like where we're positioned. So we think like the perfect community is somewhere between Dunbar's number and 1,000 true fans. And the reason why we think that is because maintaining connection with 150 people, Dunbar's number, is quite hard. It's like the theoretical limit on maintaining relationships, other than if you're J.D. Rockefeller or some other mastermind of communication. So the reason why we picked between 150 and 1,000 true fans is because if you hire more people on your marketing team, then they can maintain these relationships. The worst thing about affiliate programs today is that they are really exciting within the first 30 days, and then they start dropping off because people just stop communicating with their affiliates. There's a lot of exciting things that we're doing around just maintaining relationships with your community. And I think there's like in this conceptual bucket as well, it's quality over quantity. You don't want to like get a ton of influencers in and just like build a negative reputation if they're not generating income or if they don't feel empowerment around the brand, those types of things. And I think like also to build a great community on Dovetail, the team members that are involved in the community creation need to get involved. Zara Tisch over at Therese, she's the co-founder and CEO. She spends time every month with her community members, and her community members love it. I sat as a fly on the wall, didn't say a word. And I'm like, this is an incredible example of how to do community right. And I think there's just like a lot of power in just like how she does it and like how we're going to enable merchants in the future to do this. And she's crushing it. I mean, like she's like started her program first 30 days, sold $20,000 in product. Just an incredible example of like someone that has no experience in affiliate or community marketing or any of this stuff. And now is like probably one of the experts because she just like jumped in the lion's den and did it.
This is fabulous. Once again, I'm going to have these links in the show notes. What's interesting when you talk about, I'm also going to have a link to 1,000 True Fans, because I think it was an original article that was from quite a ways back. And I remember skimming this article. I think it was in 2008. I think it was released, talking about this popularity of number of fans and then the product. And it's so interesting where 1,000 True Fans really is kind of a sweet spot for, or at least an aspirational sweet spot for growth on a brand, because you start off small. For sure. And I think that's what the community part of is. But when you're hands on, like you said, in the lion's den, kind of working it with a North Star of thinking about how do I get to 1,000 true fans, and then they're going to share. And then the virality and the word of mouth that happens after that, it's a nonstop iterative process. But it's great that this is how you're thinking and how you're positioning the products. I think it's really, really, really exciting in this day and age. So let's dig into, I guess, the final part of our episode today is more about the future for your product. So I understand what it does does today. And I know that there's obviously a roadmap of maintenance and updates. And I'm sure publicly you have it available and communicate with your current book of business right now about, you know, what sort of features that you'd like to have in the platform. And I guess you're just going to triage those and continue to build. But just would love to understand more about the North Star for, I guess, the remainder of 21 that we're in now, and just end of the day, how you're going to continue to offer value and assistance for Shopify brands.
Really simply, our North Star has always been our customer. It's just, how do we help them and what are their problems? So I don't imagine their problem will change from how do we acquire customers anytime soon. So I think that's going to be constantly, how do we enable that? There's like serious business use case around building powerful communities, community as a moat around individual brands. I'm hoping that we become like one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Shopify app in the App Store. Like, that's my honest goal. I want to focus on Shopify for a very long time. I want to nail the use case. I want to just like do things right by merchants. If you were to break down like our goals on the merchant side and our goals on the member side, so like members are influencers or just anyone that's a part of the community. It doesn't necessarily have to be like labeled as an influencer. On the merchant side, just our goal is to help them grow. So sales, relationships, all those types of things. So anything we can do to help them, either education, product, anything else. And then on the member side, our goal is to provide economic opportunity. So I've been speaking a lot about this in our team circles, and our team is awesome at sort of just breaking down these problems. We are thinking a lot about like the middle class of the internet. So how do we impact this? I think that you guys probably think about this a ton, because there's like, how do you enable people to be independent? How do you enable people to do like what they love? And how do you like become an entrepreneur itself? Like that whole messaging is really powerful. But I think that we can be this enablement that brings the middle class economics back to the people that have been underserved. So I think that's like kind of vision on the member side, on the economic opportunity. And I really have to like shout out my team here, because like they're super smart. Like, we're a team of 11 people in an arena full of like companies that have raised $20-40 million, and we're sitting on like $500,000 profitable, and the team comes to work every single day excited to help out the merchants that we're working with. And they constantly push me. I'm constantly pushing them. It's a very awesome ecosystem just built in this like very tiny team. But I definitely think that we're going to grow pretty significantly, but I just wanted to shout out the team for all of their effort when it comes down to like these specific problems, and just taking like a customer centric approach, because I've learned a ton just around like what we can do and what our North Star is and all this other stuff we constantly talk about and obsess over it. So
Mike, we are nearing the end of the show for today. Do you have any takeaways or any action items that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Just two main takeaways right now. Think about what your community strategy is, not necessarily what your influencer marketing strategy is. I think if you kind of change that perspective a little bit, you'll think more holistically about the problem that you're trying to solve. And you also think about, if you can generate a community, then you can likely reduce your customer acquisition costs, whether it's through affiliate marketing, word of mouth, content marketing. I think it all sort of stems from that general framework. The second thing is, of course, if you're just paying too much or you're spending too much time in the influencer marketing ecosystem, like, we would just want to help. We want to help you normalize that. Dovetail starts for free. So like, you can just get started for free on the platform. And at least you can come into the platform, start reading the blog posts, start getting our emails, start seeing like what it's all about. I don't want to be over salesy. I think it's just one of those things where it's just seeing is believing. So even if you're in a contract stuck with another service provider or something else like that, we can work with you. We can be budget friendly with you and all that kind of stuff, but know that we're here to help. And I think that's probably one of my biggest things I want listeners to take away, especially if they're merchants on Shopify.
And now, how can people learn more about Dovetail? I guess the website, the whole solution. And then I know we spoke offline today before recording, and understand that you'd like to offer, a listener only promotion for my podcast community.
Yeah. I mean, you can go to dovetail.com, D-O-V-E-T-A-L-E, Dovetail as a story, you know, it's tail like a story. You can go to Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, any social, and just we're at Dovetail on every one of them. And the promotion is anyone that's listening gets 3 months for free of our pro offering. So if you are excited about kind of like migrating any existing affiliate services, or if you're excited about kind of modernizing or just cleaning up any of the spreadsheets you have or anything else like that, we do have the free version that you can start with, but listeners of the podcast today can get started with 3 months for free. And you'll probably put one in the show notes, right?
I will indeed. Yeah. So it'll be ecommercefastlane.com/dovetail. And that's going to redirect to that landing page that you've been so kind to create. And I've just had a look at it. So it's, yeah, it has great links and stuff, which I love about a lot of things that we talked about today, about recruiting and qualifying influencers, how to easily send and track gifts, how to track sales with referrals. It's quite interesting. There's a couple of case studies on here. I really think it's very notable that you have also divided up the community in what you're calling kind of segmented communities under beauty or fashion or food and beverage, animals and consumer goods. So it's interesting how you've organized it that way. So no matter where you're at and whatever kind of brand that you have, there will be a case study and you'll be able to link certainly to a live instance of this solution being used. So I think it's just nice to be inspired by others. I think that's the whole benefit of kind of entrepreneurship. It really is kind of paying it forward a bit. And I think a lot of these people have maybe could be further ahead in their journey and they're executing with your platform and are reaping the rewards of success. But there's also those that are just maybe not happy with their influencer program. They're trying to implement now or they want to implement. And it sounds like with your free plan or in this case, like, you know, a 90 days to take the full solution for a spin, I think it's fantastic. I think people should take advantage of it. I just, you know, once again, Mike, thank you. This life of learning, I think, is one of my mantras. It's just, I got to be a constant learner, and I really massively appreciate from today's recording. I feel that, you know, you really are in tight alignment with Shopify, with really wanting to help, you know, brands improve efficiencies and grow revenue and definitely build this lifetime value or lifetime customer loyalty through these ambassadors and raving fans, all because of community. And just wanted to thank you for coming on the show today, sharing your knowledge and your vision. I wish you like awesome success. And like I said, anytime in the future that you have any updates, just send me an email and we'll make sure your show notes are updated.
I appreciate it, Steve. Thanks for having me.
All right. Take care. Now, this episode was brought to you by the team at Rewind. The common myth is that Shopify has a backup that you can use when something goes wrong with your store. The truth is they don't. So what do? You use Rewind to protect your store with automated backups. The Rewind app should be the first thing you install to protect your store against human error, misbehaving apps, or even collaborators gone bad. It's like having your very own magic undo button. It's trusted by over 100,000 businesses, large and small. So enjoy peace of mind and install the Rewind app today. And make sure to respond to any of their welcome emails and mention the e-commerce Fastlane podcast, and you'll get your first month absolutely free. Learn more by checking out Rewind in the Shopify App Store or by visiting rewind.com. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of e-commerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.